Well, I would appreciate your prayers again tonight as we endeavor to look into the Word. I'd like to start with a familiar verse in Jeremiah, about the 10th chapter. The 23rd verse. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The actual idea in this scripture was, of course, the time when the children of Israel was facing the punishment that the Lord was going to lay down on them. They would be carried into captivity. And it's not within any man to be able to stay God's hand in something like that. Man isn't capable of being able to change the circumstances of life around him. There's no man that could have stopped this. And there's also no man that would have chosen for himself any kind of a punishment like that the Lord was going to give them. But I think this scripture is much more than that, because I believe that this scripture can be taken in a very broad and a very general sense about mankind. It's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. I think we all probably realize that tonight, that it's not within man that walketh to be able to determine his own course. We all would go astray left to ourselves. We all would go the wrong way. We would all lean to selfishness. We would all be corrupt if it wasn't for the Lord and the ways of the Lord. So I think we all realize that it's not within man to walk. I can go farther than that. My intentions can be also well, and maybe yours have been at times too, where you had the right intentions and you'd done something wrong even with right intentions. You ever do that? Your intentions being just so noble and so right in your intentions, but you mess up in the way you see things or understood things, and you thought you were so right when you were so wrong. It's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps and have perfect understandings and perfect ways. Well, then what's the hope of man? What then would be the meaning of that? You know, the idea that I get out of this beyond anything else is that if I can't direct my own steps, then there must have been a given in here that somebody else can. There is someone that wants to direct my own steps. But there's also an idea in here that I don't have to let him. The Lord made it. I believe that we were created by God, and God had an idea for us, and he made us, and he wanted mankind from the very beginning to serve God because he wanted to. Because it was the most important thing in their life, and he wanted man to choose that above everything else. I believe it's still the same today. If you don't want to serve the Lord, you don't have to. And the Lord's not going to make you do it. But the Lord does want to do something. God wants to use his influence. He wants us to respond to his influence in our lives. He wants to be able to speak to us. He wants to be able to walk with us. He wants to be able to guide us in life. I think the Lord wants us to seek him for the answers of our life, the direction of our life. I think the Lord wants us to understand tonight that it's not within man to walk it, to direct his own steps, and accept the influence that the Lord wants to give us. I think that the Lord tonight wants to give every one of us his influence into our lives. He wants his word to mean something. Now, I want to challenge you with this tonight. I just don't want to play around with some words tonight. I want just to challenge you that the Word of God, that God wants the Word of God and His Spirit to be important enough into our lives that we would have the application of it. that our lives would be influenced by this to the point that I would take this as the counsel of my life. Lord, what should I do in this situation? There is the counsel of the Word of God that I ought to consider in these things. The Lord wants that influence to be in our life. You know, influence is very important. We probably don't even realize tonight how many things are out there that's wanting to influence. We are influenced by things. Coming down here, a couple different nights coming down here, we're hurrying along, coming down, and all of a sudden I see a police car and I'm instantly influenced. I didn't say I was going too fast. I said I was influenced. I obviously was influenced. As soon as I saw it, I went like this. Without even thinking, I went to see if I had my seatbelt on. I don't even know if y'all have seatbelt laws, but we do at home. If you don't have your seatbelt on up home, they can pull you over. And I saw in the police car, I went like this, I have a seatbelt on. And I looked down at my speedometer. I was influenced simply because he was there. And he influenced me to check myself to see if there was any reason for him to have any interest in me. Do you know that there is a world of marketing driving down the road? Again, I'll give you a say. Driving down the road, people have spent hundreds, not thousands of dollars to put up signs and billboards. If they didn't have no purpose, would people spend that much money doing it? There must be some influence. There must be some influence that can be gotten by that. Maybe not by everybody. I don't know who all the influence is. But there has to be some influence there. I don't seem to be influenced by a lot of the signs. But then I thought, well, they don't influence me. I must be different. Maybe I'm different than them. Then I realized, no, I'm just out of the market of whatever that is at the time. Because when I'm going along, we're going along and it's lunchtime, a Brahma sign influences me. I turn off at a lot of intersection ways, and that sign, Brahms, the next one, or it'll be McDonald's or where we're going, and say, oh, you know, the children say, let's go to McDonald's, whatever, and we'll see the little sign there, and next exit, I'm influenced. I'm being influenced. If I had need of some of the other things out there, if I was going along and my vehicle was messing up and there was a garage, I might be influenced by that. But my point is that, you know, there's a lot of advertising out there. A lot of advertising out there. And people pay thousands and thousands of dollars to advertise things because it is effectual. It influences people's lives. People go and buy those things. Do you know they give millions of dollars to people that are notable? I mean, people that are popular, or what do you say, famous people? They make contracts with them and give them millions and millions of dollars to be able to use their name, use their face for them to advertise. And look at that and say, now who would go and buy a can of soda pop or a garment or something like that simply because some basketball player said that they did? I'll be honest with you, this seems ridiculous to me. It just seems totally ridiculous to me. But they don't spend $30 million giving them that just because it don't work. That actually influences people. Maybe they don't even think about it, but it does influence people. But you know what? God wants us to be influenced by Him. God wants us to be influenced by the Word of God. I'm not here to tell you or sit down and argue or debate about what all of it means, but I wish we could at least say that it means something, that it's not there for no reason, that there must be some reason in it for it to influence our lives. And I've been so disappointed before because I've been in services before, and I've been in Bible studies, and I've been in depth Bible studies, and I've been in blessed And inspired Bible studies and services. And the Lord bless in it and then go right out the door 2 minutes after the service is over. The very thing we're talking about is neglected and not let the influence into their lives. And that is so disappointing. That the Word of God, the life that the Lord wants us, He wants the influence. And we'll have to admit, it's not within man to walketh to direct his own steps. So where am I, then what do I do? If it's not within man and collectively wouldn't do any good because we still don't have the answers. But the Lord wants to influence us. He wants us to be sensitive to the moving of His Spirit and to the moving of His Word in our hearts. That when the Lord says something, you know, there's some tough statements in the scriptures to the flesh. That idea about your turning your other cheek to your enemy, if he smites you on one, turning the other, that's tough words. You may say, I don't believe it just that way. Okay, but it means something. It's supposed to influence something. If we're interested and really desirous of the Lord, shouldn't we inquire of Him? Lord, where does that apply? And what do you want me to do with that? Help that to be something that influences me in my life. And allow me to have the attitude that I'm going to take the Lord's advertisements, the Lord's things that He's saying, and it's going to be important to me. Help it move me into the places that I want to be. You know, people, it's kind of natural. I think the reason advertising works is people kind of want to be popular. They want to be in something. You know, fads come and fads go. There are some silly fads. I'm going to tell you, there's some silly fads that come along, and I know we have a certain belief about things, but beyond that, I look at them and say, that's a silly fad. That's just a silly fad. That shouldn't have never caught on like that. That's just silly fad. You know, that's what happens because people are influenced by things. So Lord, help us to be influenced by the Lord. He's wanting to influence. I believe that with all my heart that He's trying with every one of us to influence us in our lives. I think many times we don't give it any room. We don't give it any attention, and we don't really get the influence that the Lord wants to have. We'll have a few examples of it. Over in Mark 8. Oh, see, I'm going to pick it up. Well, I'm going to go back to the fifth verse. It says, and He asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and He took the seven loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to His disciples to set before them. And they did set before them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left seven baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and He sent them away. And straightway He entered into a ship with His disciples and came unto the parts of And the Pharisees came forth and began to question Him, seeking of Him a sign from heaven, tempting Him. And He sighed deeply in His spirit. You get that picture? Here comes these people, and they come tempting Him, saying, give us a sign. And the Lord, what have I been doing? Where have you been? I've been preaching under the power of the Son of God. I mean, we ask for the Spirit to be in our meeting. We pray that the Holy Ghost would anoint the preacher, anoint our ears, give us some inspiration. Do you think that the Spirit was lacking in Jesus' preaching? Do you think that it wasn't anointing some ears? And the Lord is working, and then he goes, and what does it mean to you that he fed 4,000 people with a fish, couple fishes and a loaf? There's great meanings in this. It's not just one event. This thing resonates. It influences. You know what it influences me? There was a time where the Lord, I felt the Lord called me full-time ministry. Give up your job and come and follow me and do what I want you to do. Well, how am I going to do something like that? You serve one that fed 4,000 with a couple of fishes. That's how you can do that. You can let me influence your faith until you can believe the Word of God. And then you won't have to worry about where your food's going to come from, because I can make it appear out of anything. I can bring it to your life. If you'll let me influence you, you can do anything that I want you to do. If you'll let me influence your life, if you'll believe the Word and let it influence you. Why? Here comes after the work of God had been so wonderfully performed, here comes the Pharisees and say, give us a sign. And the Lord in His Spirit sighed, oh, what can I do? What can I do to touch such a generation as this? They won't hear my word. They won't hear. They won't even heed the sweet feeling. The Lord touches us with inspiration, doesn't He? Doesn't He touch our heart with conviction? Doesn't He touch in there with something? Was it lacking in Jesus' preaching? And yet, these people were so hardened, they wouldn't let the Lord touch them. They wouldn't allow the word of the Lord to touch them. They wouldn't allow what they could see and understand to influence their life to faith. Show us something great. We'll stand right here. We want to see something. The Lord wouldn't do it. He said, I've been doing it. I've been giving it to you. I've been trying to influence your life. I influence it by these things, and you've got a place up. And as I read this, I was thought in my spirit, I wonder if the Lord sighs at me. Oh, I've been trying to get Him for days, for weeks, for months, for years to have faith that I could work in His life. To be able to conquer some of these problems. To be able to have this in it settled in your life. We live in a fearful time. But should we be fearful? We live in an anxious time, but should we be anxious for tomorrow? Well, it's not within man to walk and direct his own steps. Now, how am I going to possibly not be worried about tomorrow? How am I possibly not going to be afraid? How am I possibly... The Lord wants to influence us by His Spirit, so we can have faith in a God that can take care of us. That it doesn't matter the way the Lord lets this world go. He can have influence into our life until we know that our God is in control. How many times I've heard, I must say, I know how way we think, and I'm not condemning it, but I know how it works. Lord, It would just inspire our faith if you would heal this person. You know, I've told the Lord that before. Lord, it looks to me like it'd be such a blessing to the whole church if you would just miraculously lift this person up. And they're thinking, all of the things that the Lord has done for me, and I need that. All the times that the Lord has touched my family, touched me, how many He's anointed, He's answered prayer, how many times He's given inspiration and helped us and worked with us and done miracles for us. And I'm there saying, Lord, I need this to happen. I think, Lord, help us. I think the Lord will do that if we need it. But I'm going to tell you something. He wants something more than that. He don't want us to be like these Pharisees that come along and say, you know, Lord, give us something so we can know. Haven't I been doing it? Have you been listening? Have you been paying attention? Yes. I think He wants to commune with you. I think He wants to commune with me. I think He wants the influence of His Spirit not to bounce in and out. I think he wants the influence of our spirit to be a permanent fixture in our lives. I think he wants us to wake up in the mornings with the influence of God in our lives. God has influenced me and I walk a certain way. He wants the influence of the Holy Scriptures in our heart. That it's written in our heart. Then that way when I face the difficulties of my life, I'll know how to act with them. I'll know how to respond. In a sense, he's advertised and he's got me. I've been in on that, Lord. I believe that. I want to buy some of that. I believe that. I want to do that. I want to be able to perform that. I believe it's right to love even though you're hated. I believe it's right to pray for those that persecute you. I believe that, Lord. Help influence my life that way until that's the way I feel. You know, I drive, I'm going to be honest with you, I drive around all over the country, and sometimes I'm not exact. The Lord's helped us over the years much, but I can do some things sometimes that get people's ire up a little bit at me. I mean, I can do some things sometimes that make people, there's a lot of road rage out there, and I can do things sometimes, switching lanes and cutting people off or slowing down too much when I don't know which way to go when you're supposed to be going fast and I'm slowing down and people behind me's mad and all this. And I can get people upset. And when they get upset and they start honking their horn and they start making gestures at me and stuff like that, immediately something can come into my mind and a temptation to do the same thing. But act the same way. If I don't act the same way, let's at least back it up and say this. If I don't act that way, I'm at least feeling like I'm wanting to act that way. But I want an influence in my life. I want an influence in my life that I don't do that. That my response isn't a road rage. You know how you get tensed up and all these things and it's like that out there. But you know, the Lord wants to have influence into our lives. If we won't even admit, and I know a lot of people that won't even admit it, that it's possible not to do those kind of things. Or that they even want to not do those things. That it's just as part of Christianity, we're just all fallen and it's just okay to do those things. I don't buy it. I think there's an influence that the Lord wants us to walk on a way that's higher than that. And he sighed in his spirit. He sighed because they wasn't being influenced. He had been there all that time. His words, you understand this? Could you understand the idea of standing in the very presence of Jesus Christ? I think it was awesome just by being in his presence. I know his words was words that astonished that no man spoke like this. And he didn't mean just the words. He meant that there was something about the words that went all the way down. That they was influential. He spoke words and he said, no man spoke like this with authority and power. And you could feel it and know it. Then everybody knew it, right? No. No, only those that were receiving it understood, would say that. Those that didn't want to receive it was not being influenced by it. Not only that, but he spoke what he spake. No man said yet before. They come along and said, you've heard. You've heard before, of old. You've heard before that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I'm going to tell you something else. Love your enemy. Well, what? What kind of an influence is he bringing? Is it possible? I want to influence your life, he's saying. Want to get right in and influence your life. Over in Acts, fourteenth chapter of Acts. Thirteenth verse, I'll start. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways." What he's referring to is that there was a time that God allowed his influence to be directed towards a nation of people. He influenced their lifestyles. Understand? By his wisdom, and understand, he gave them a way of life. But he only gave it to a nation. Only to a people. The rest of the nations of the earth, he suffered that they would walk in their own ways. Figure it out for yourself. See how you figure it out for yourself. We can look at this and see what Paul's saying. And this is what you've come to. This is where men go to. It's not within man that walketh to direct these sons' steps. And I'll give you the evidence of history to look at it. And in our modern day, in this modern day, there is people that try to say there is no God, and they try to make an argument of it. Even in 2016, with all the great minds of the earth, they still can't make a legitimate argument against God. They can't do it. And yet the nations of the earth that had no influence of God believed in things like the earth was being packed around by Atlas on his shoulders. Other beliefs believed the earth was on a turtle's back. There has been Zeus and Apollos, and the Romans had their gods, the Greek had their gods. They had all these gods of mythology and all these ways of worship, and man sought his own way of worshiping and believing. And look at the pattern of what they done. It never was a better life. It never was a better way of doing. They followed it all, and all of that can be easily disproved through history as being ridiculous. And yet, through the old Hebrew language and all that, you look, and some of the most amazing things and truths are still there about how God did things that can't be disproved or hardly gainsaid. And it was God all along, but he had said that he suffered them to go their own way. Look what they've done. I want to make the argument to you. Can anybody go a better way than they tried to go? What would be the way of this United States when the influence of God is no longer on it? The people of the United States is crying, "Don't influence us. We don't want the influence on us. We don't want the Ten Commandments. We don't want to say Jesus. We don't want God around. The only thing left is your own way." What would we end up doing? Do you know that it's set in the seat? I ain't going to take time to prove it, but I believe this because you can look at all history and see that it's true. Men have always worshipped something. There is a spirit of worship in a man. I believe God made us with the desire to give adoration to God. And in the warped state of man, he still has an idea of worshiping something. So now where is secular humanism? Where is modern man? Where is he pointing his adoration? To the creation. Not the creator. And mainly to himself. Men are worshiping men. We're worshiping our abilities. We're worshiping the things that we can do, the things that we can understand, our great abilities of mankind. And one day they say we'll evolve to the place that we can conquer all these diseases, we can do all these, and we will become, and some people even believe we have the ability to become God. No, we don't. We are created. And a loving God wants to influence us back into his grace and his favor. He wants to influence us. And so here comes Paul and Barnabas into a group of people and cries out to them, "Don't do this thing. Brethren, don't look at us as anything. We're men of like passions. But there is a God that wants to influence you." There is a God that wants to prove to you, I don't know how to do it, but it isn't my job to do it. Do you understand? I have a mission in my life. I only have one mission. It's really easy for me to do this because I only have one thing to do. Because I can't take care of your problems. And I don't know what you should do in life. I don't know whether you should move here or you should move there. It's not my job. I wouldn't take it on. I don't know whether you should marry this one or marry that one. Or I don't know what your occupation will do. My job is to point you to one that knows all those things. My job is simply to point you to the Christ that loves you and wants to save you and lead and guide you in life. He ultimately wants to take you to heaven, but he wants you to live right here at the same time being blessed. My job's pretty easy then. It's pretty simplified. I preach Christ and him crucified. He was the one that wanted to influence our life. And the greatest influence, if we could only understand the power of this influence that he wanted. There was a man. Third chapter of John named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a different in the lines of the Sanhedrin and in the lines of the Pharisees. Nicodemus was a man that had a true heart. And he had peer pressures. He had all these things that the Pharisees had. But there must have been something in Nicodemus that was different than a lot of the other ones. Because he came to the Lord by night. I know why he came by night. He was in a struggle. I love the character of Nicodemus. This is a real character in the scriptures. Because he was in a conflict. I've been in many conflicts before in my spiritual journey. And I appreciate Nicodemus's spiritual journey. Because he's in a place that if he goes with Christ, he's going to be an outcast. And yet his heart and mind and conscience would not let him lie about it. So he goes to the Lord and says to him, "We know." I love this because this is resignation, folks. Do you understand what Nicodemus done? If I come to you with a wonderment and I said that, I would never come to you and say right off the bat that you're of God. I'm going to tell you, if I want to argue with you and think you're different, I'm not going to say you're of God, okay? Because that takes the argument away. Nicodemus took all of his argument away when he said, "We know that thou art of God." That was a resignation to Christ. We know that you're of God, for no man can do these miracles unless God be with them. So he takes away. Now he was going to ask questions and he was going to be a little combative. What's this mean and how is that? But he had already made the same, a resignation that I know God is in you. I know you're not as of God. He had been influenced when the others wouldn't accept it. He allowed the influence into his life. And then the Lord got right down to it with him. I think the most powerful influence that could possibly have ever touched his life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I wonder what that meant when he said it. Can you imagine Jesus looking you right in the eye, personally looking you right in the eye and saying the most probably the most famous, the most important scripture in the Bible, possibly, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Maybe it didn't mean just as much to him. I imagine after Jesus gave his life on the cross and all, I imagine it meant a whole lot then. The influence that he wants to have in our lives is one of love. Yes. The banner over us is love. He wants to capture us by the understanding of how much he loves us. He wants to influence us to the point that we could say like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, "It's the love of Christ constraineth me." In other words, the way I see that, it isn't my love necessarily for him, but it's his love to me. I can't disappoint it. I can't disappoint Christ's love for me. It's like a child that has a affection towards their father that they don't want to displease them. My daddy's so good to me. I love my daddy so much that I don't want to displease him. The love of Christ constraineth me. The influence of God is so much, I don't want to do a bad thing. We argue about this. I hate the arguments because it's so superficial. It's so, most anything that you can bring to me, I am sitting there saying it's not very important in the scope of things. Get any little petty things about it and say, I'm saying, well, why wouldn't you want to give it to the Lord? It is. If you understand, it's not much to give for the Lord. When He's influenced me that much, I want to please the Lord with my life. The Lord wanted to please men, I believe, all down through history. There come a time in the day of Noah that the influences of God were getting less and less. The people that would take the influence of God was getting less and less, to the point that the scripture says that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. You know what kind of a powerful statement that is to the people that lived then? I don't think the scripture exaggerates, even though I would say that sounds like an exaggerated statement. That the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually? They never had righteous and good thoughts and good purposes? The scripture says that they didn't. Well, how did he ever get to such a place? They got to a place by line upon line, generation after generation, after a while of following their own flesh and doing anything to appeal to themselves. They got to a place that the influence of God wasn't there. He couldn't touch them anymore. That's a scary thing. Yes. To me, it's a great challenge because I can't change the whole world. What if I could? But I can't change the whole world. I don't think our world's there yet. I think there's good people out there. I think there's people out there that care. Sure. But I see it going down a trail. But I have a more serious thought about me and about us. Yes. Because if I'm allowed to give you preach a little bit of observation here, my observation tells me that there's a lot of indifference to the things of God. My observation tells me that there's a lot of lethargy about serving God. By observation, I don't see a lot of enough diligent effort. I don't think God is through. I believe God is a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe He was a God that worked with Paul and Peter. I think He's a God that will work with us the same. I don't think He quit giving gifts unto men. I don't think He quit doing the things that He was doing. And yet, I think there's a lot of lack of those kind of things. I'm not trying to condemn. I'm only trying to challenge. That's either suggests that the Lord's influence is not influencing, or we're not receiving the influence. Because inspiration is what He does. You know, to inspire literally means to breathe in. When He made Adam, He inspired him to life. He breathed into to Adam. And he became a living soul. He breathes into us. He inspires into us the things that we should do. You know what I do? Every time I have duty to do it. When I'm seeking the Lord for something to stand up and preach about, I'm not looking for a great understanding I have. I don't look to how much I understand something. I don't go looking for how other people understand things. I'm trying to find the inspiration of God. And I can be going along and looking for it. Lord, bless this. Bless. What do you want, Lord? And reading the scriptures and find it. And you know, there isn't a doubt ever in my mind when I'm inspired. When it happens, I know it. The Lord inspires the thought. Now it becomes alive. It's alive. It isn't just words being spoken now. There's something alive about it. I think it's more than for the preacher. It's for life. The Lord wants us to be inspired that this is the way to live. This is right. Nobody can take it from you when you're inspired by it. The devil can't get it out of you when you're inspired with it. You just call the devil a liar. This is a lie. I know that this is the truth. The Lord gave me this conviction. The Lord gave me the inspiration of this. And it'll never be taken from me. Lord, help us that we would be inspired. But like I say, in the days of Noah, their hearts was only evil continually. And there was a statement in there that said that my spirit shall not always strive with man. Just the sound of that is fearful to me. If that is a statement that took in a generation of people, could it be a statement that would take an individual person? Is it possible to harden my heart and completely do away and put the Lord aside and to the point that and follow the ways of myself and walk in my own ways and be confident in my own ways and assured that I know what I'm doing to the point that I don't no longer have any ability? I've said this here at this meeting already. If you're here tonight and you say, I'm not saved, but I want to be saved, I'm going to tell you something. That's about as dangerous as you can get with your soul. Because everybody assumes that the way I feel now is the way I can feel 20 years from now, or when I get to be old, or when I'm ready. There's no guarantee that you can feel that way. You know, you can lose that idea that you feel like you want to be saved and it never be back on you. Then what are you going to do when you don't want to be saved? Well, right now I'd love to be saved. I don't want to die. I don't want to go to hell. I want the good things in my life. One of these days I'm going to be saved. I really want to be saved. Don't make you saved. And it doesn't mean that you can control that element. You can't control that element. There may become a time that you don't feel like you want to be saved at all. I've seen it many, many times in my lifetime. See a person get down to the end of their life and say, why wouldn't they want to be saved? They have nothing hardly left. They know their days are short. They're about to go out of this world. You would think, I know they was raised believing in God. They've acknowledged that they believe there is a God and make no move ever in their life to be saved. And you say, just say, why? Wouldn't somebody do that? That used to live for the Lord and all that. They no longer think and feel that way. Lord, help us. The Lord wants to influence. He wants to be a definite influence into our life, and he wants to be able to touch us. And thinking about, there's a scripture, and I think it was Jesus telling a parable, and he talked about a man that came and got land or whatever in the service, and one of the things that the people of the land said, that we don't want this man to rule over us. We will not have this man to rule over us. I recognize something about my life, that it's not within me to direct my own steps. Yes. You know, I've had a lot of plans in my life. I've had plans. I've had ideas of what I could accomplish or what I would do that never worked out because I couldn't make them work out. You know, how many times have people decided they were going to do something or accomplish something? You know, I've known a number of men that would say, I'm about to retire, worked all my life, and now I'm financially able, I'm going to retire, my children are grown, and me and my wife, we're going to get us a traveling home, and we're going to travel trailer, and we're going to do the things that we never had a chance to do, and we're going to enjoy this part of our life, and them die. You know how many people I could tell you that I know of that died right after they retired? With the idea that now we got years to do. What, years? It's not within man to walk up, to direct his own steps. It's not capable of that. You know, the Lord wants to influence us in our lives to the things that are really important and matter, because we can get so sidetracked about stuff. The Lord wants to put his influence into our lives. It'll make a difference in your marriage. I'll tell you, it will make a difference in your marriage if you have the Lord's influence in your lives. It will make a difference. It will make a difference in your relationships with one another. I'll tell you this, It'll make a big difference in your congregations. I'll even say this. It'll make Wednesday nights a lot funner to go to. It will. It'll make Sunday mornings a lot funner to go to. It'll be a lot more enjoyable to do it from a full heart, inspired with the Lord. Not always been that, but let me tell you something. I've appreciated those that have been a witness and an influence in my life. God don't always influence directly either. He'll put somebody in your life sometime. I was at a home congregation one time, and I've had my ups and downs in my spiritual life, and I've always dedicated, I'm going to go to service. Went to service one day, and we had a minister there, and he was a minister, and I was sitting there, and I was thinking, boy, I can't wait till this is over. This is not getting with it. This is poor. This is dry. And I just kept sitting there, and the longer I sat there, the more I wanted out of there. You don't say anything, but it's in you. It's in you. And there's probably everybody in here knows what I'm talking about. I mean, if you don't, you just be excused for a couple minutes here. But I know what I'm talking about, and I know what I was feeling about it. But I want to tell you what the challenge was to me, because when it was time for that to be over, I was glad. Because there was nothing in it. I said, that was as dry as it can be. What a waste of time to come and do that. I could do a lot better just reading my Bible myself or listen to a tape or whatever, thinking all these things. And just after it was over, Brother Jim White stood up and said, I want to thank the Lord for this good message. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And he started saying what the Lord had said. He started saying, and when he said that, and he started saying that, and I was arguing with Brother Jim in my spirit. I was saying, he did not say that. That's not what he said. And I was there, and Brother Jim was happy. He was blessed. He was inspired. And I was sitting, and you know what the Lord told me, and I believe it to this day. You know who was dry? It was me. I was dry. I was in the wrong place. Had I been in the right place, I could have stood up like Brother Jim said and said, thank the Lord, that was a stirring message. Well, Lord, help us then. Maybe life that goes on around us is not the way we see it. If I could miss that, maybe I miss a lot of things about life. Maybe God's doing things and I ain't even seeing him do it. Maybe the Lord's wanting that to influence my life in a certain way, and I'm not even allowing it to influence me. You know, there's things that happen sometimes that the Lord wants to get our attention. The Lord wants to touch us. Sometimes the Lord wants us to do something. I'm so confident that the Lord wants to help us. I went one time with another brother. We went to visit a sister. It was in the hospital, this older lady. We went to see her, and I witnessed this. I saw it. I'm ashamed of it today. I wish it had been different. I wish I could have been different. But we had prayer for her. We ministered with her, and I saw the room across the hall. I saw a younger white woman come to the door a couple different times and look in towards us with a pitiful look. She looked in with a pitiful look. And when we got ready to go, the other brother had went first. I come out of the room, and this woman looked at us with a longing, pitiful look, and I never made a move. And I was convinced, after I went, I was convinced she wanted help. Yes. I saw it in her face. I walked away, folks. I don't like to tell it. I wish I'd have done it different, and I don't ever want to do it again. But I believe I left somebody there. And I believe there was somebody there. A teary-eyed woman that kept looking towards these ministers over there. And I walked away. I walked away. Walked out of the hospital. And still think about that sometimes. I think the Lord would have sighed. What do you want me to do? Lord, help us. There's hurting people all around us. We're not careful, we don't see a one of them. We won't allow ourselves to be challenged. We won't allow ourselves to be challenged with the influence of the Lord. You want me to give you scriptures that would tell you that? I can give you plenty. But the Lord wants to inspire us with His Spirit too. He wants to inspire us with His Word that we are instant and we are ready and we are looking and we do want to be used. Lord, help us. Could have made a difference. I didn't make no difference. I'm sorry. I repented for it. I repented to the Lord for it. I'm sorry, but I can't back up on it. I can't go do it over. Whatever happened, happened. But I always think sometimes, was there a soul about to go into eternity? Oh, Lord, help us. I don't know. But I know this. The Lord wants to influence our lives and help us. And we need to accept that. We need to say yes, Lord, to your word, to your influence. And when the Lord says he needs laborers, you know what? We all, every one of us ought to at least ask the Lord if we're interested. We ought to at least ask the Lord if he wants us to be what he wants us to work at. He ought to at least say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is my part? Give me a part. They say in the army that for every soldier that's on the front line, it takes 9 to supply him. That's what they say. 9 in the supply line to get him ammunition, food, all the stuff that he needs, fuel to fight, and all that. It takes 9 to 1. But that's still a job. I want to tell you, prayer means something. We pray these messages. We can pray it down. We can pray help to people. We can pray salvation to our family. We can pray that. But not if we don't want to be inspired. No, we don't want any responsibility. I'm a little busy for that. Or I'm a little. The Lord wants to inspire us. And help us to be in that place. If we are interested, I'm going to tell you. The closeness to the Lord is what this thing's really all about. I have never done anything in my life. Of all the things, I've played sports. I've rode the rides. I've run the run. I've done all that stuff in sin, and I have never found anything that doesn't pale in comparison to the satisfaction of having the Lord close. It is the most dynamic thing that I've ever done was have the Lord visit me in my soul. It is so far superior, and the Lord wants to do that and inspire us in life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.